Yes, the outbreak reports were based on the health department, but also we defined an outbreak as multiple households within a 30-day period. So it wasn't just, we looked at foodborne illness complaints coming in and also identified outbreaks. And there were about, I believe, 100, close to 200 outbreaks we looked at. Yeah, that's always a possible problem in research where you might have possible reporter bias where you get certain individuals that may report more. We looked at not just the ones that were reporting, but anything that actually, just foodborne illness complaints that come into our system, but you do run that risk sometimes where the demographics can influence it, and that is always a potential risk in research.
Okay, we have to move on to the next paper. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, we all hear on the news about the wildfires in California, and it's really great to see that there's some research being done on health impact of these wildfires. And we have today Jennifer Nelson from the San Diego County Department of Health.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. I'm Jennifer Nelson from County of San Diego Public Health Services, and taking a slight turn here. I'm not going to be presenting actual studies like the other presenters, but the use of syndromic surveillance to monitor the health impact of the wildfires. So most of what I'm going to be presenting was done sort of spur of the moment, quickly during the wildfires last year, though we did refine some things afterwards to look at them. Okay. And I have no relationships to disclose. And for those of you not from San Diego, welcome, and I hope you're enjoying our nice October weather. Unfortunately, some of the same conditions, the high temperatures and low humidity that give us these nice days also increase the risk for wildfires. And last October, there were numerous wildfires that burned throughout San Diego County, around 400,000 acres, and more, which was about 15% of the county. More than 500,000 people were evacuated from their homes during this time, and over 2,000 medical patients were evacuated. The population of the county was vulnerable, even if not those not directly threatened by flames faced adverse health outcomes related to smoke exposure and poor air quality. So obviously at the health department, we felt the need to monitor the population health during this time. And this is just a couple of quick images of the fire and smoke encroaching on population areas and the poor air quality. And another visual, a satellite image showing the extent of the smoke during that time. So one of the things we did at the county was turn to our existing syndromic surveillance system as one way to track the population health. This system has been ongoing since 2003 and was in fact developed in part at the time of the 2003 wildfires, which was the last large-scale wildfire incident in San Diego County. And just a quick overview of this system, we get data daily from 8 emergency departments, 3 911 call centers, and the pre-hospital transport system. We get this every morning with the previous day's data. And the visits we get from emergency departments represent about 42% of total county emergency department visits. We get data about 80% of the 911 calls and all of the transport data. The data we get is really chief complaints. It's pre-diagnostic, and we run it through SAS programming and group it into specific syndromes. For example, in addition to respiratory, which I'm going to be talking more about here, we also look at gastrointestinal symptoms, syndromes, and some also more specific things. And we use various statistical methods to detect anomalies in the counts, mostly comparing to the previous 30 days of data. So So for the surveillance during the time of the wildfires last year, we really relied heavily on this system with a few enhancements. We were more closely monitoring select syndromes, specifically asthma, COPD, more general respiratory systems overall, chest pain, and total visits and 911 calls. We did some additional analysis to monitor trends by age, hospital, and zip code. And we developed a special fire surveillance report, which we updated and distributed daily. And it was given to county health officials, state health officials, and other public health partners. And this is just an example of a couple of pages of that report. It really just shows some data trends during the time period and a little bit of summary. There were also some maps included, and I'll show examples of those in a few minutes. This graph shows the maximum measured air quality index for the latter part of October 2007. Now, the measures for the air quality index came from different sensors around the county. So each point here, this is just kind of a composite that we did to give us an overall sense of what was going on in the county. So the different peaks could have been a result of different sensors. And it was driven by air quality in different areas on different days. And I'll show more about that in a minute. So the fires started on October 21st, and immediately the air quality index started moving into the unhealthy range. And you can see here that the peak, very unhealthy, was on October 23rd, and it remained unhealthy for about a week or more afterwards. So this graph shows that air quality index line again, which is the bottom blue line here, and pairs it with the emergency department visits for respiratory symptoms during the same time period. And you can see that although the peaks don't exactly match, the respiratory visit peak was actually a day earlier on October 22nd. The lines show follow a fairly similar pattern. And it also shows that although the fires continued to burn for some time, as they started to come under control, that both the air quality index and the respiratory visits started to return to normal after a little bit more than a week. And some of the differences in the overall pattern here may be explained by some of the regional differences, which I was talking about, and that sort of shifted over the week, the fire impact, the smoke, the air quality, and also where our hospitals are located. So here we broke it down into kind of really rough regions of the county, and you can see the different peaks on different days. Also remember, we don't get data from all hospitals, and the coastal and central areas are heavily represented in the hospitals that we do have. Another thing to consider is that the zip code, the geographic data for respiratory visits came from people's zip code of residence. And people are obviously quite mobile. They work in different areas. And also there's that 500,000 who are evacuated. So the exposure may not have come where they, at their residence. Still, you do see some similar peaks here. So focusing on October 22nd, which is the peak day for respiratory visits, you can see here that we had so the counts are kind of low for asthma, COPD. We had a 200% increase over the 30-day mean. Respiratory visits overall were up 100%. Total visits were up 20%. And these were all statistically significant aberrations. Chest pain did not increase at all during that time. And this is a similar graph for 911 calls and pre-hospital transport data. And you can see that the transports for respiratory symptoms went up 85%. 911 calls up 77%, and total calls up 100%. Emergency department visits for respiratory by age is something else we looked at, and this gives an indication of how different segments of the population were affected. And talking here about relative increases, obviously some of these groups had more visits than others on a regular basis. But the bottom line there is infants, and there was no increase at all. There was very little change in the pink line, which is the 1 to 19-year-olds. And one hypothesis that we have here is that, you know, a number of schools were widely closed during that time, and there were general recommendations for kids to stay inside, and that may have had some impact on this. The adults were clearly the affected group, Many may have had to go outside to continue working. But even amongst the adults, there were some different patterns. The oldest had the steepest increase, and this includes the group that may be in the frailest health to start with. The 20 to 34-year-olds, the peak came a day later on the 23rd, and amongst 35 to 64-year-olds, there was the most sustained increase over several days. And these differences likely had to do with the overall health of people in the age groups as well as their types of activities and exposures. So we also did some maps to look at the geographic patterns of the health impact. And this is respiratory visits by zip code of residence. And this first map shows a baseline, the Monday and Tuesday of the week prior to the fires. You can see where the hospitals are located, very coastal. And the ones that are the kind of blue filled in, I know that's not really easy to see, those are the ones we actually get data from. And the pattern of visits is largely coastal, and we don't get as much data from the ones that are a little bit more inland. And yet, if you look at the following week, the Monday and Tuesday, which were our peak days, you could really see an increase in both the total respiratory visits and the distribution, more of them were coming from residents further inland. And this slide shows where the fire perimeters are and gives some indication of why that might be, and also shows respiratory visits for 4 days. So there are some limitations to this. We obviously don't have complete countywide coverage. We don't get data from all the hospitals, and the ones we do have are more coastal, so we don't have a full population picture here. We also lack specific encounter details. The data we get are chief complaints. They're often generic. For example, it might just say shortness of breath. And it also doesn't contain any exposure info, so we really don't know for sure which visits are actually fire-related. We also don't get information in that data about pre-existing conditions, which may have prompted some to be more affected or to seek care. What we have is really a picture of the acute situation, people who actually went to the ED or called 911. And this system also does not include identifiers, so there's no opportunity for long-term monitoring. And also, we weren't able to specifically monitor the health of the evacuated population with this. That said, we did find that our syndromic surveillance system provided us with a timely overview of the health impact of the fires. We were able to contribute to the knowledge of both the population health and healthcare utilization during this period. It's obviously not the full picture, but it did provide useful information and fill in a portion of the picture for us at the time. This information we were able to provide to county and state health officials, who were able to use it primarily, I'd say, for situational awareness, just to kind of monitor what was going on, and really didn't see anything too unexpected, but it kind of gave them a handle on what was going on. Also allowed some information useful for decision making at the time of the event and possibly for planning for future disasters. Thank you.